Screwing cotton all the day. Storm along, stormy, storm along. Oh, you rollers, storm along. Oh, you rollers, storm along. Hoist that bale and sing the song. Storm along, stormy, storm along. I wish I was in New Orleans. Storm along, stormy, storm along. Dancing with them Cajun queens. Storm along, stormy, storm along. Oh, you rollers, storm along. Oh, you rollers, storm along. Hoist that bale and sing the song. Storm along, stormy, storm along. I wish I was in Baltimore. Storm along, stormy, storm along. Dancing on that sanded floor. Storm along, stormy, storm along. Oh, you rollers, storm along. Oh, you rollers, storm along. Hoist that bale and sing the song. Storm along, stormy, storm along. Now I thought I heard our captain say, storm along, stormy, storm along. Sun's gone down, go get your pay. Storm along, stormy, storm along. Oh, you rollers, storm along. Oh, you rollers, storm along. Hoist that bale and sing the song. Storm along, stormy, storm along. Drop your hook and give a holler. Drop your hook and give a holler. Louise ashore for the Yankee dollar. Storm along, stormy, storm along.
You are tuned to 106.1 FM. WSCA, LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Please note that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them and not necessarily of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. It is now time for the program titled Local Folk here on Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and I'm bringing in people and events from the local folk music scene and beyond. I'm here to learn and to help convey the different ways traditional folk is manifesting itself, and also to give you, my listeners, an idea as to how to involve yourselves in the diversity that is the folk music and culture around here. Remember, this could include many different aspects of what is considered folk culture. You could dig into your own family history, or perhaps attend a contra dance, or maybe find a good place to listen to live traditional music, or go to a festival. You could reenact the past. You could use the past as a template for something new. And this program is meant to spark your imagination and perhaps prompt you to take action. Of course, the first step is to stay tuned as I help convey the music and stories of my guests who are graciously here to share with you all a bit of their personal histories and musical selves. Before I introduce my guest this evening, I have a few announcements, followed by the weather, community bulletins, and a word from our underwriters. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by The Press Room, featuring live blues, jazz, folk, R&B, Latin jazz, and more Monday through Sunday, along with appetizers, sandwiches, and entrees at 77 Daniel Street. Schedules at pressroomnh.com. It's also made possible by the Music Hall, an American treasure for the arts. It's the Seacoast Performing Arts Center that entertains 100,000 patrons annually on Chestnut Street, Portsmouth. Schedule and other information at themusichall.org. Excellent. It's time to continue now with the program called Local Folk. And my guest tonight, might have grown up on a dairy farm, or he did grow up on a dairy farm, but he was never too far from artistic endeavors. His grandparents were both part of the American Modernist art movement, and his granddad's work has even been collected by the Smithsonian. His mother is an exceptionally popular artist influenced by a folk tradition whose work, her work is also represented in the Met and the Whitney. But it was the music that seemed to catch his interest, and he remembers hearing the old songs after having snuck out of bed while his folks were having song parties. Of course, while earning a PhD and traveling the world with the Peace Corps, he managed to learn the five-string banjo, sing, and play folk music. He returned to Maine and was part of the Portland Folk Club for 12 years, sharing this folk music through concerts and other events. And this led to his present musical endeavors, which we'll talk about. And one thing of great interest to me is how he goes about compiling songs, tunes, and lyrics from all over the place to create what I would call a new old song or such. Without further ado, I welcome singer, musician, composer, compiler, Charlie Ipkar. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Dave.
So tell me, part of my mission on the program is to help people create sort of a roadmap as to how it is that they came to the music. You grew up with the music a little bit. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, when I was growing up in my family in the 1950s, song parties were a regular part of our entertainment. And both my parents had favorite folk songs that they had learned in the 1930s. And one of our neighbors, Bill Bunyan, was also someone who wanted to be a folk singer. So he was always at the parties, and we would often row across the cove and attend parties at his house as well.
Row across the cove, okay.
You'd row across the cove. It was 10 minutes by boat and about an hour by car. So, rowing was a great occasion, and you'd have this wonderful party in Bill and Jean Bunyan's living room. And then you'd row home at, total black on the water. And hope that the tide was right when you got back to the landing.
So was this dairy farm that you grew up on, obviously on the water somewhere?
I grew up on Georgetown Island, which is connected to the mainland by a series of bridges.
Okay.
So it's about the same size as Manhattan Island, only it's less densely settled.
A little?
Yeah.
A little.
So we had a small dairy farm with about 10 Jersey cows, and my father delivered milk all around the islands, and my brother and I grew up thinking that we were growing up on a farm. It was very convincing.
Very convincing. Sort of erudite, though. I mean, your parents and their parents having been these sculptors and painters and all this. I mean, were you surrounded by paintings as well?
Well, my mother always painted. She did more painting in the winter than she did during the haying season, mm-hmm. because she did all the farm work as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had my grandparents there during the summer, and my cousins at a neighboring house, and they always had art students. So there was always a lot of interesting people from away visiting us. And occasionally we'd go down to New York City on Easter vacations or things like that, mm-hmm. and sort of be impressed with what was going on in that part of the world. But going to public school as we did, there was no reinforcement for folk music there. We just sort of felt out of it.
Well, this is something that I've heard over and over again, and that is that back in the day, so to speak, it wasn't this, not that it's mainstream. I mean, I think folk music is still folk music, but nowadays you could get a degree in folk music, and back then it was just really something that happened at the farm. Is that your impression of it?
We knew some people who were professional folk singers who earned their living doing that. There was also my uncle, Richard Dyer Bennett, who married my father's sister, who pioneered a lot of folk music into the universities and urban centers at nightclubs. We were aware of that, but it was not something that my brother and I would expect to do as adults. We just enjoyed the parties, and we just lucked out by the time we went to college. Folk music was popular.
Right.
With the Kingston Trio and other groups like that. And for the first times in our lives, we had an advantage. And we hastened to learn how to play the banjo or some such thing.
Did you say, so you didn't play the banjo before you went to college. When you came to college and you heard these guys, you said, I know this stuff. I'm going
to... Yeah, my brother learned to play the banjo first. And he being the older brother, I said, if he can... If that lunkhead can play a banjo, maybe I can learn. Mm-hmm. And it took me a few years to be comfortable, but I've been with the five-string banjo ever since.
Now, you are right now, well, I know you as someone who's primarily a maritime music singer and performer, but have you always been?
Well, I have always played banjo music and folk songs. When I was out in Michigan for about 12 years, I learned how to play contra dance tunes. And that was a whole new realm of music and training of the ear to follow a lead fiddler. And when I came back to Maine, one of the things I did is help form a new contra dance band called Ellen and the Sea Slugs. She was our lead fiddler. It was the punk contra dance band.
And were you the lead slug?
I was not the... No, we had a bunch of crowbar people up in the front row to keep people back. But I played banjo for that and did that for about 10 years. And we also ran a folk club in Portland. And that's how I met the members of my current band, Roll and Go, that's been together for about 20 years now.
20 years? I had no idea.
Yeah.
I've seen you at the Portsmouth Maritime Folk Festival for, I've probably been doing it for 10 years now, and at least seen you down there for that
right.
whole thing. But that wasn't going on while you were running the folk club that came out of that?
We didn't discover the press room until probably maybe 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
the idea of actually going commuting to Portsmouth was not something in our world.
Okay.
One of our band members, Brett Burnham, was the one who introduced us to the press room and dragged us down here.
Tell me about that then. Tell me about, was there something appealing about the press room and you wanted to keep coming back, or was it?
We were enjoying sea music and the press room had some sea music on their regular Friday sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hall certainly enjoyed leading shanties. So that was an attraction. And then they began doing the dedicated sea music sessions on every third Saturday from 3:30 to 7:30. And that was even better because one could sort of relax and not compete with the fiddlers jumping in.
Right, yeah. That's right. It's still going on. Is it the third Saturday of the month?
The third Saturday of every month. So the next one's coming up in May.
It always creeps up on me.
Yeah, it happens.
it creeps up. Hey, you're going to be there this Saturday?
It's a great choice of time because 3:30 to 7:30 is a dead time for the press room. And the group is not competing with some existing activity. They're bringing in some extra people.
But with that in mind, we'd have been able to bring you down here for a while, at least long enough for us to have learned some songs that you've... I'd like to talk about some songs. I just have to say that I recorded one of Charlie's songs that he compiled called West Indies Blues because I loved it so much. And I didn't know... I mean, I wasn't sure, Charlie, if you were the... At first, anyways, if you were the author of it or if you compiled. Some people said it was a compilation, then some people said that it came from different sources. I'd like to talk about this for a minute. How you've learned a lot of traditional music, but then you've turned around and changed it and adapted it. And tell me a little bit about that process.
Well, the West Indies Blues is a special case. That's a song that my mother learned from her nursemaid back in the 1920s, Ella Madison, and I never heard her sing it. I only ran across it because I was going through some old notebooks that she'd been keeping, and it had, among other things, it had the words of the West Indies Blues. So I said, tell me more about it. And so she sang me some of the verses that she still remembered, and then I looked at that. Then I did some research and discovered that there were urban versions of it recorded in the 1920s, and some of those were re-released as CDs. So I listened to them, and it was very much of an urban blues. But some of Ella Madison's verses were really unique, and they mentioned Charleston. And then I learned more about her. She was a minstrel singer, a black minstrel singer in the late 19th century with several different groups, and she toured Europe as well. And she had a powerful voice, and in 1928, after she had finished raising my mother, my grandparents got her in an interview with the first dramatic production of Porgy, which was the forerunner of Porgy and Bess, and she got a singing part in that play. So she got back to the theater, and that production went to Europe again. So she was just thrilled, and we have a photograph of her on the stage singing, and that's just great. So when it came to putting that together, I looked at what she had for verses. I listened to about four different other versions, and then I channeled a different tune, which was more of a Southern Appalachian tune, and that's more like It's the Same All Over This World. And that's how it all came out, and I think what I'll do is just simply demonstrate the song.
Please demonstrate the song. West Indies Blues by Charlie Ipkar.
Yeah, and it's working its way around the world. Slow but sure.
Going home.
home. Sure as you're born, that's going boom. Won't be long. Got them West Indies blues. So that's the way it goes.
That's the way. Well, it's a minstrel song, as remembered by your mother's nursemaid, a minstrel. She wasn't, you know, she was your mother's nursemaid, but it sounds like she was first and foremost a musician and a performer.
She was a performer. Then she got married for about 10 years, and her husband died, and her only child died as well.
Horrible.
So there's some sad stuff there too.
Yeah.
But she was full of revival songs and minstrel songs, and my mother certainly had a very rich upbringing.
Certainly.
And I didn't know that much about that until I ran across, you know, doing research on family papers.
Well, and this is it brings up a really important point here on Local Folk, and that is that there are a lot of ways to get involved in the folk music, and one way is just not just the folk music, but just folk in general. You can just get in touch with your family. I mean, you never know what you're going to dig up, mm-hmm. and say, "Wow, this is interesting to me. I had no idea." I had a pipe player on who told me that he didn't even find out till he was much older that it was three generations back that one of his relatives played the concertina, and so there was music in the family after all.
Exactly.
And he didn't know.
Yeah, so that's a good example of one kind of song that I picked up, and the last verse is one that I cobbled together because I really thought there needed to be a farewell to Charleston Town and bye to the dance hall girls before heading back home to Jamaica.
Yeah, I would say. But
just to wind it all up.
Just to wind. Well, I mean, you've really put it together in sort of, it's almost like, you know, taking clippings of things and putting, gosh, I don't even remember what you call that now. You take different things and
collage.
Put them all together. A collage.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
So it's a collage, and the juxtaposition of this minstrel with an Appalachian tune really creates mm-hmm. something brand new. So,
yeah. Yep.
You know,
Been All
great.
Around This World is pretty much the tune, as I recall it. The blues version is a perfectly valid version, and I can't even remember the blues tune at this point. And I couldn't find the CD because I was going to bring that down as a sample.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
Yeah.
But you've done this to other songs as well. That wasn't the first one that you did, though. What prompted you to start taking these perfectly good songs and mm-hmm. adapting them?
Well, it's a variety of things. And even in 1970s, I was writing protest songs while I was out at Michigan State University. And I was doing some housing organizing, so we did a whole set of housing organizing songs, which are sort of gallows humor kinds of things for the people doing the housing counseling for the training workshops we were doing, or for special event fundraising. So, yes, I was doing this for ages. But what I've been doing in the last, say, 15 years has more to do with sea music. And I'm always on the lookout for songs that sort of fill a certain gap, that sort of are distinctive and may not have been covered before. And I think the Yangtze River Shanty is a good example of that, and it's one that has been recorded now in Australia and England, as well as here. And it's sort of nice when something really catches fire.
Now, it really has caught fire, that the Yangtze River shanty in the folk world it has. And that is another song that is a bit of a compilation, or is a definite compilation, correct? Tell me about that.
It's based on a sailor's folk opera called Sailor with Banjo, a little book that I found in a used bookstore. How could you resist a book with the title Sailor with Banjo? And it's by Scottish author Hamish McLaren, who was a Royal Naval officer in World War I, mustered out and later in China, wrote several very interesting books, but this was the only one that was that had poems and songs, but no tunes. There were no tunes, and no one has found any of his notes. And according to his daughter, who I've been corresponding with, his family was the kind of family that would just toss everything out. You know, house cleaning. That particular song, the Yangtze River Shanty, he considered a tribute to the old shanties. And to his apprentice days on a training sailing ship, where he actually did work on, say, working the capstan to haul up the anchor.
So that was the words that you found, just to be clear, were his tribute to a shanty.
His tribute to the tradition of shanties.
His tribute to the tradition. Yeah. Were you looking for a book by this person, or were you just browsing around and you came across this?
That was happenstance. It was an irresistible title. And I discovered later that Bob Zentz had also picked up a copy of that.
Well, you can judge a book by its cover sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And I looked at it, and then some of the language was just too ornate. So I roughened it up some, and then, as happens, basically a couple of tunes came to work, and I really built a chorus for it. And one of the tunes that I was mining was a traditional folk tune called Jenny's Gone to Ohio.
Jenny's Gone to Ohio. Why don't you play us a little piece of that at least?
Now Jenny's gone to Ohio, Jenny's gone away, Jenny's gone to Ohio, Jenny's gone away. And then for the chorus, I was using, I think, something from the Congo River, like, was you ever on the Congo River?
Blow, boys, blow.
Oh, see where a white man... whatever it is.
So black fever makes the
white man shiver.
Blow me, bully boys, blow.
So when you pull all that together, you get
I couldn't help singing a little bit as being a shantyman.
Yeah, so when you pull that together, you get the... And you should be queuing up... Barry's version of this.
We are cued, but please give us...
So this is the way it originally came out when I first recorded it and when Roll and Go recorded it.
Okay, before you start, I just need to let you all know that you're listening to Local Folk and you're listening tuned in to 106.1 WSCA FM. We are Portsmouth Community Radio.
Away, boys, away, oh, blow me down that Yangtze River. Away, boys, lift and walk away. My lotus lady, I'll see no more. Away, boys, away, oh, since I left her on the Kaina shore. Away, boys, lift and walk away. When we first met, she was like a queen. Away, boys, away, oh, prettiest gal that I'd ever seen. Away, boys, lift and walk away. Is to play Barry's version. Barry was listening to me at the press room.
Okay.
And he filtered it through his brain and his knowledge of deep sea shanties, and it became much more of a working shanty, and that's the version that much of the nautical folk music community has picked up.
Okay, the Barry Finn version. This is from Fathom This. The CD is Finnan and Hattie.
And it's a CD that my wife and I produced and recorded and edited.
Oh, you did?
And I'm doing backup vocals on Yangtze River and a few other ones there.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
So I tend now to sing it as a tribute to Barry.
As a tribute to Barry. That's right. Barry has passed away, the music remains.
Exactly.
Let's give a listen here.
Oh, this lady I see no more. Away, boys, away, oh. Since I left her on the China shore. Away, boys, lift and walk away. Away, boys, away, oh. Blow me down that Yangtze River. Away, boys, lift and walk away. When we first met, she was like a queen. Away, boys, away, oh. Prettiest gal that I've ever seen. Away, boys, lift and walk away. Away, boys, away, oh. Blow me down that Yangtze River. Away, boys, lift and walk away. She'd flashing eyes and long black hair. Away, boys, away, oh. All I could do was stand and stare. Away, boys, lift and walk away. Away, boys, away, oh. Blow me down that Yangtze River. Away, boys, lift and walk away.
What stands out from that to me is the excellent background vocals.
Yeah, that's myself and Neil, Barry's partner.
They did a great job on that whole CD. The Fathom This CD is excellent.
Well, it's a labor of love, and Barry knew exactly what he wanted to do. We laid down 24 tracks in one marathon 12-hour session, and he knew exactly the order, and he knew exactly what the harmony should be.
I should let people know that our guest is Charlie Ipcar. We're listening to Local Folk, and I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan. If you'd like more information about Charlie's music, you can go to charlieipcar.com, charlieipcar.com. I also want to let you know that I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and if you would have any questions for me about this guest or any of my guests, you can contact me at skerrigan, SCARRIGAN, at WSCAFM.org. It's time for me to talk about the community calendar and what's going on musically around here. Jazzmouth 2012 is coming up April 26th. Through April 29th. I had Cynthia Chattis on a few weeks ago, and she's going to be a featured performer at Jazzmouth. But Jazzmouth, the Seacoast Poetry and Jazz Festival in downtown Portsmouth, New Hampshire, is going on this Thursday through this Sunday. And the first thing happening is a film, The Manchurian Candidate, at the Music Hall. Friday, there's a reading at the River Run Bookstore at 5 p.m., and then 8 p.m., we have Jazzmouth Celebrates Seacoast Women Musicians at the Press Room featuring Cynthia Chattis, Joanne Connolly, and Agnes Charlesworth with Swing a Cat also, and special appearance by the Manchester Slam Team. I guess that's slam poetry. There's also all kinds of stuff going on Saturday and Sunday as well. That's about what I've got for the musical calendar right now. Hey, if you guys are still in the mood for traditional music after this, you could go down to Rira, where Oran Moore is always playing. I like to call it the local folk after party. If you want to hear more of these shanties, the third Saturday of the month down at the Press Room in the afternoon, there's a shanty singing session. Or if you just want a general traditional music session down at the Press Room on Friday nights is a great one to go to. Sunday down at Rira, they have one. Sunday in Concord.
It's every Friday night from 3:30 to 7:30.
Every Friday night. It's not just the third Friday down at the Press Room. It's every Friday night, and it's an excellent session that I've been going to for years. So
That is the Steve Carrigan Local Folk Community Musical Calendar right now. Let's get back to our guest, Charlie Ipkar. He has compiled many songs and written songs as well. We're going to get to some that he just wrote on his own. But he's very eclectic in what it is that he does. There's a book that we're going to talk about that's coming up as well. But just, you know, let's talk one more song, Mobile Bay.
Okay. Mobile Bay is a tribute, based on a tribute poem by Cicely Fox Smith, to a traditional song that she collected called Roll the Cotton Down. And she was a young woman in the early 1900s who wrote poetry based on yarn she collected from the sailors out in Vancouver and then on the London docks. And quite prolific and quite successful in getting her work published. By the time we had discovered her, that was around the late 1990s, she'd been long forgotten. All of her books were out of publication. And when I first heard some of her poems sung, I was just absolutely struck.
So I'm hearing two similarities. First of all, a book that you found at a random bookstore. Was this another random find?
No, not really. I'd seen references to C. Fox Smith as a scholar in say, Stan Hugel's collections of sea shanties.
Oh, I see.
But it wasn't until Danny McLeod and Joyce McLeod came here for a tour from the U.K. that I actually heard a whole collection of her poems sung, set to music. And that was around 2000. And that's ever since then I've been working on that and assembling a team of volunteers that span the globe from Australia to England, and we managed to pull together some 640 of her poems, some of them published in her books, others only published in newspapers, and Punch magazine. And it's now going to be published by Little Red Tree Press in Mystic, Connecticut this May.
Boy, that's excellent. Is there information about that on your website?
It will be, because I'll be performing with my co-editor, Jim Saville from the UK, at the Mystic Sea Music Festival the second weekend of June.
For those of you who don't know, one of the, I think, the biggest sea music festivals
in the States,
in the United States at least, happens down in Mystic, Connecticut at the Mystic Seaport, where they have they have an old whaling ship. They have all kinds of other large sailing vessels and all kinds of folklore. And it's set up like an old village. And it's a great place it's a real great environment for the maritime music. And you've been performing there for a long time, haven't you?
Probably for over 10 years, and working as a volunteer in between. So it's one of those things where we can count on hearing hundreds of people singing, picking up on choruses and singing in harmony. And half of it's the performers leading songs. The other half is all the after concert singing that is going on there at the dance hall and every other space that exists on the place.
It's a real wild time, isn't it?
It takes a lot of energy, and it's very important to pace yourself. And Barry Finn, among others, was always one of the last people to give up with the rising of the sun.
Oh, boy, I know. I remember being down there years ago with him and hearing for the first time Johnny came down to Hilo, and he was sitting in the gazebo, and people were just going around and around and around singing this stuff.
It's absolutely amazing.
So
here's an example of one of the C. Fox Smith's poems that was never in one of her poetry books. We only found it because one of our British volunteers went systematically through Punch magazines from 1934 to 1954 and found it in a 1930s Punch. And as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, this pulls together a whole lot of stuff. It's a tribute to Roll the Cotton Down, and I bet I can find a tune for it. Well, I used the chorus to Roll the Cotton Down, and that's to the tune of the Alabama, Roll the cotton down, boys, roll the cotton down. I thought I heard the old man say, roll the cotton down. So what I do is more of a harmony with that for Mobile Bay, and it goes like this.
Let's hear this. Listening to Local Folk. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and my guest who just performed for us live here in the studio is Charlie Ipkar, and he was performing a song that he compiled from any number of different places that he explained before, and It's from the poetry of C. Fox Smith, correct?
Correct.
Cicely Fox Smith.
About how to pronounce her first name.
Cicely, because I would want to say Cecily.
Exactly. It's precisely as she said.
Precisely. Well, it's over 600 different poems that were reflections or based on things that she read about life at seas. Did she ever spend time at seas, or this is something else where it's, or is this some where... Please tell me a little bit more about that.
We had romantic images that maybe she had sailed in tall ships. No. What she did is was intrepid enough. She steamed out to Canada, visited a brother in Alberta, said, no, Alberta doesn't do it. Went on to Vancouver, got a job typing for a lawyer down on the waterfront. And then in the evening, she would go off to the docks and pretend to be fishing and use that as an excuse to talk up the sailors and collect their yarns. And those yarns really became the basis for her, a lot of her poems. She doesn't just do sea poems, nautical poems. She does rural poems and a lot of other categories as well. And during World War I, she did a lot of poems that had more things directly to do to the troops and on land as well as sea.
Patriotic poems.
And some patriotic things, but there was always a quality to them that got them beyond patriotism and sentiment, with the possible exception of maybe her first early poems.
The poems that you've compiled, though, are those... all the poems that you could find of hers, or were they just the maritime ones? Or
No, these are practically all the poems, probably more than 95% of the poems that she ever published, one way or the other.
Wow, excellent.
And of those, 80 of them we know have been recorded at least once, and that's an incredible record. Several have been done by in multiple arrangements.
Is there one that the regular person would know, or?
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
One of them, called Homeward, was one of the first ones recorded back in the 1980s. And I can't sing that one particularly, but it describes a World War I scene on the continent where someone is lying wounded in a ditch, and he hears the artillery horses coming down the road, and it reminds him of the teams of horses back in the rural fields of England. And that's all going on there.
Wow.
And particularly haunting poem. And apparently was one that was picked up by the soldiers, because it went all the way. It was found in a Royal Army newsletter from India, and some of the references had changed from Europe to India, and the horses' names had changed, and so it had been folk processed already, and then
folk processed
exactly, and then we had little. Once we heard it, we said, "This is C. Fox Smith," and we soon tracked it down to Homeward.
Oh,
but it's known popularly as Homeboy's Home.
Homeboy's Home.
Yeah.
So more information about this book could be found at charlieipcar.com when the time comes.
Exactly. It should be published in May. We're going through the proofs now.
Wonderful.
And it will be available for sale at Mystic for sure.
Now, you have more than one project going on. We have the book that's going to be available at Mystic and at charlieipcar.com of Cicely Fox Smith's poetry, which sounds beautiful, and thank you for sharing the Mobile Bay with us as well. You also, you don't just compile songs, you author them yourself. I'd like to play a song that you authored that is going to be on your upcoming CD.
Okay, let's
tell me about the experience for a moment, and we don't have a lot of time left,
right,
but tell me about that, and then we'll play the song.
Okay, this is one that's, the song is inspired by something that I saw while visiting friends in England, and this was the town of Fleetwood, which was a major commercial fishery in northeastern England. And after singing, they took us out the next day to a marshlands, and that's where the ghost fleet of the fishing fleet has basically been abandoned. And you see over a dozen ships rusting and rotting on the marshlands. And my job was to send them back a song. And I didn't want to just make it nostalgic. I wanted to have some mystical quality of what those boats said to each other at night, and maybe a rousing chorus. So I'm hoping that the combination is successful.
Well, you want to find out? Should we play this?
Absolutely.
Okay, this is
The Spectral Fishing Fleet.
The Spectral Fishing Fleet, and this is going to be on the CD titled Songs from an Old Sea Chest by Charlie Ipkar.
Mm-hmm.
By the river where from years gone by, fleetwood's boats left high and dry. On the marshlands there they lie, they'll go to sea no more. Florentine and Arjoan, Eureka, Clarendon, and Saigon, slowly sinking on the strand, with all the tiger's tail. Oh, here's to the lads of Fleetwood Town, here's to their boats of high renown. Let's raise a glass for another round, drink to those glory days. There they lie and there they'll stay, rusting, rotting by the bay. No one knows what they say when the sun goes down. The moon comes up, the sun goes down. Do you hear a whispering sound? Adjust the tide as it swirls around the spectral fishing fleet. So here's to the lads of Fleetwood Town. Here's to their boats of high renown. Let's raise a glass for another. Planks awry, the wind song hums a lullaby. Shadows dance beneath the sky in the pale moonlight. The fleet's all in, there's not to say but yarn about their glory days. When they sail beyond the bay in search of fishing ground. Fleetwood Town, here's to their boats of high renown. Let's raise a glass for another round, drink to those glory days. From the Dogger Banks to Iceland shore, they sail 10,000 miles or more. They crawl along the ocean's floor, but home to silver darling. But now the fish, they are so few, there's no work left for boats to do. They're all laid up and lost their crew, they'll cross the bar no more. So here's to the lads of Fleetwood Town, here's to their boats of high renown. Let's raise a glass for another round, drink to those glory days. Florentine and Arjoan, Eureka, Clarendon, and Saigon, slowly sinking on the strand, we call the tiger's tail, we call the tiger's tail.
That was The Spectral Fishing Fleet, a song written by Charlie Ipkar, who was my guest today on Local Folk. And we've been talking about maritime music and putting songs together. And he's a compiler of songs, a collector of songs, a learner of songs, a sharer of songs. A lover of poetry and books, it sounds like, as well. And a very, very talented person that I have with me today.
Yeah, and that last song is another example of reciprocity, because Ron Baxter and some of the members of the Fleetwood folk music community are people who do community folk operas. And I was intrigued. I really wanted to meet those folks. And I set one of their songs to music, Clan Alpine, by Ron Baxter. And that's also on this album.
Oh, excellent.
And then at the same time, I wanted to send them something back in return for borrowing that one.
Excellent. See, and that's the way it goes in the folk community, is a lot of sharing and exchanging, and that's part of what it's all about. We're going to play a song to lead us out. I want to thank you very much for being here. If anybody wants more information, they can contact me at scarrigan, scarrigan, at wscafm.org. Or if you have would like more information about my guest today, Charlie Ipkar, you can go to, it's easy, charlieipkar.com. Up next, we're going to have Under the Radar, the award-winning Under the Radar, and they are going to be doing a tribute to Dick Clark and American Bandstand. Dick Clark just passed away, and they're going to be doing a tribute to him. Up next week on Local Folk, we have Tom Lanigan, who is an Irish musician. He's from Ireland. I will be feeding you more details on Facebook as the week goes on. Facebook is really, I think, where everything really happens. I can't be sure of that, but that's what I've been told. Anyways, next week's guest is Tom Lanigan. He just came out with a new CD. It's awesome. Thanks a million, Charlie, for being here.
Thank you
all very much for listening to Local Folk. We'll see you next week.
And it's yakker, yakker, yakker for your drop of beer and backer. Turn your bloomin' clover and the bit of duck, yay. When you're layin' on the screw with the boss a-cursin' you, and the sweat runs like a river and you're chokin' with the heat. You can dunnage gas a tallow, you can handle hides and horn, you can shoulder frozen mutton, you can lumber sacks of corn, but the queerest kind of cargo that you got to haul and pull is Australia's staple product, her godforsaken wool. For it's greasy and it's stinking, and them ugly, awkward bales must be crammed as close as herring in a ship before she sails. It's yakker, yakker, yakker for your drop of beer and backer, to earn your bloomin' clobber and the bit of pack you eat. When you're layin' on the screw with the boss a-cursin' you, and the sweat runs like a river and you're chokin' with the heat. Now someone's got to do it, I've often heard them say, but it takes a lot of grafting for a very little pay. And I ain't a bit contented with me bloomin' earthly lot. If I found a better billet, hell, I'd jump it on the spot. For underneath the hatches I'm getting pretty full of this everlasting sweating over plastic bales of wool. And it's yakker, yakker, yakker for your drop of beer and backer, to earn your bloomin' clobber and the bit of duck you eat. When you're layin' on the screw with the boss a-cursin' you, and the sweat runs like a river and you're choking with the heat. With the trolleys all unloading and the press upon the go, you can bet they keep us working like the devil down below. You can take the affidavit that the foreman at the hatch, when the tally clerk is busy, makes the talent toes scratch. With the
double dumps are coming and the winch begins to grind. We'll raise a shanty fort of the stevedoring kind. And it's yakker, yakker, yakker for your drop of beer and backa. To earn your bloomin' clobber and the bit of tack you eat when you're laying on the screw with the boss a-cursin' you. And the sweat runs like a river and you're choking with the heat. So it's Ria, Ria, Rally, lay another tier of bales for the glory of old England and the good of New South Wales. They're stinking and they're heavy and they're awkward for to lift. And the place you got to stow them, why there isn't room to shift. Now I'd strike for higher wages if I thought I had a show. I'd down the hook this minute and it's up the hatch I'd go. But it's yakker, yakker, yakker for your drop of beer and back up. To earn your bloomin' clobber and the bit of tuck you eat when you're layin' on the screw with the boss a-cursin' you. And the sweat runs like a river and you're chokin' with the heat. And the sweat runs like a river and you're chokin' with the heat.